Good morning, family. I hate to ask you to do this, but would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Let's read together. Now, this is Paul speaking to the Athenians, the people in Athens. These are pagans he's speaking to. He's introducing to them the unknown God that they worship. He said, say with me, the God who made the world and everything in it, it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself is everything, life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we are thankful this morning that you are present with us, that there is no place in this universe that we can escape your presence. And we are honored today that you love us. We love you. And Father, we just ask today that you be glorified in everything that's said and done. We invite your Holy Spirit to teach us today, to draw us near to you, to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We pray this message today will be a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And Father, as frail and as weak as I am, I pray, Father, that you will be honored and praised and glorified. We thank you that this message is yours. This church is yours, Father. We love you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Seated, please. Wanted to encourage you, too, that on Wednesday night we're doing a thing in here on the names of God. So when you hear the message today about God's all-present nature, on Wednesday we're going to be talking about El Roy, the God who sees. And we're going to be looking at that story from Genesis 16. And also on Sunday mornings we're doing, I don't know if you all know this, but we are doing a class back in the cafeteria. Talking about discovering God, and we're kind of introducing kind of what they get a heads up before you all do of what the message is going to be today, but that we do it kind of from a different perspective and we kind of more of a practical angle. So please, if you don't have a class, if you want to be a part of, we'd love to have you come be a part of what the Lord's doing back there. Last 2 weeks, we have been talking about, a couple weeks ago we talked about the fact that because God is able, he's all-powerful, nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for our God. Amen? Amen? And we said last week, because God is all-knowing, he knows me better than I know myself. So today, what we want to talk about is the fact that God is always, always present with us wherever we go. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, David, through the Spirit of God, writes, "Where can I flee from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." I have read that passage all over the world, and I remember especially one time in Mobile, Alabama, in the ghetto there, we were working in this community, and I read this passage with this woman. I'll never forget this. She just broke down at this passage when we read this. And she goes, I just forget sometimes God is with me now. And that's exactly what it's saying. There's no place that you can go that God is not. Talking to men and women on death row or in solitary confinement, you know, this is a great passage to use with them because it helps them realize God is everywhere. And even the darkness is as light to Him. This is a great passage for children who are afraid of the dark. You tell them, God is here, and this is like light to Him. And He's with you right now to encourage children who are scared of the dark. You know, it's interesting that Jonah, the story of Jonah, is nothing but a story of teaching us that God is present everywhere. There is no place God is not. And of course, Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, and he said, man, I ain't going there. And he split, thinking he could get away from God. And what he learned was, even in a fish motel, God is still present. And the fact of the matter is, he learned very quickly that God is present in all places. Why do we run from God? I think the answer is very simple, but it's profound also. We run because of shame. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, you know the story. It was common for God to walk with them daily. And yet we learn in Genesis 3:8 that they hid themselves from God. We hide ourselves because we are full of shame and guilt. And I don't know what you've brought into the place today. I don't know what kind of guilt or kind of shame that you have brought into here today. But I'm telling you right now that God will cover that sin. He will cover your shame. He will wrap His arms around you. Don't hide from Him. Run to Him. Embrace Him. Just like Adam and Eve, we get out the fig leaves and we try to cover that shame up. What is your fig leaf? Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's self-righteousness. It's amazing to me that we try to return to God on our own. We always do this. I'll do it my own way, okay? I'll go to God, back to God. Cain had this idea. You remember Cain and Abel, right? Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice? Simply because he came to God in the way that God told him to come to Him. Cain came to Him with vegetables. Abel came with a sacrifice. So it's important that we come to God the way that He says, come to Him. And that includes our shame and our guilt. I know there's people in this room, you have carried stuff for years, 10, 20, 30 years. I talked to a guy recently who had carried a burden for 50 years. 50 years. God doesn't want you to carry it anymore, that baggage. And only He can cover that shame. I find it amazing that God says the fig leaves are not good enough. You don't come to Me in the way that you want to come to Me. Let Me cover your shame. And what does He do? He covers them with animal skins. But there's so much more going on there than you realize. He is covering their sin as well. This is the type of God we serve. This is the prodigal son God. This is the God that is running across the meadow, ready to embrace you when you turn back to Him in repentance. You come back to Him and ask for forgiveness. Lord, I have messed my life up. I have destroyed it. I have done this. And He says, welcome home. Welcome home. I forgive you. The fact that God covers our shame, He is an all-present God. You don't have to sit there and explain to Him what you've done. He was there when you did that, yeah. You mean He was there when I, yeah. And He still loves you. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of His righteousness. See, this is what covers the shame, His righteousness. When you and I are baptized into Jesus Christ, we are clothed with Christ. We are clothed with His perfection. His righteousness credited to our account. Not because we've got it all together, because He's got it all together. It's because of the cross. It all goes back to the cross. Everything. And even Isaiah says, God has the robe of righteousness when you come to Him seeking forgiveness. We can't hide from God simply because He's Spirit. You know, somebody once asked me, you know, what is God male? No. No. God is Spirit. He's always referred to in the male gender, yeah, in the Bible. But God is Spirit. He is Spirit. That's why we can't hide from Him. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Heaven being the universe. That's not heaven, heaven. Yeah, He's in heaven too, but He's also in the universe. That's what that text is saying. The Lord is just as much present with us right now as if He is in Paris, as if He is in Rio, or if He's in Tokyo, or this is Timbuktu, Mali, West Africa. You can go to the remotest place on the earth, God is there. You can go to the deepest ocean, God is there. You can go to the highest heavens, God is there. Fully present anywhere. And that should make you think differently about your life and where you are. It did this one guy. This is a hilarious story. I've got to share this with you. True story, right? Now, I've got to read it to you because I've got to get this right, okay, first of all. In most of the United States, there is a policy of checking on any stalled vehicle on the highway when temperatures drop to single digits or below. So about 3 a.m. one very cold morning, Montana State Trooper Alan Nixon responded to a call about a car that was off the shoulder of the road outside Great Falls, Montana. Obviously, it's very cold there. He located the car, stuck in deep snow, but with the engine still running. Pulling in behind the car with his emergency lights on, the trooper walked to the driver's door to find an older man passed out. He could see the vodka bottle to the side of him. The driver woke up when the trooper tapped on the window. Seeing the rotating lights in his rearview mirror and the state trooper standing next to his car, the man panicked. He jerked the gear shift into drive and he hit the gas. The car's speedometer was going 20, 30, 40, 50 miles an hour, but it was still stuck in the snow. Wheels were spinning. The trooper, having a sense of humor, began running in place next to the speeding but stationary car. The driver totally freaked out, thinking the trooper was actually keeping up with him. I can't believe this. This went on for another 30 seconds before the trooper yelled, "Pull over." The man nodded, turned his wheel, and stopped the engine. Needless to say, the man from North Dakota was arrested and is probably still shaking his head over the state trooper in Montana who could run 50 miles per hour. This is teaching a very simple principle. No matter how slow or fast you're going, God is with you. And He's just as much present with you here today as He is in the Sombrero Galaxy 28 million light years away. God is present. How should that affect your worship? He is in the house. How should that affect how you worship Him? Are you just going to give a little bit to God? Are you going to give a little bit of your life to God? Or are you going to give it all? I find it amazing that you get a man in a stadium with a bunch of football fans watching a football game. Son, that guy will scream his head off. But you get him on Sunday morning, Rock of Ages, clap for me. Come on! You don't know the God you are worshiping. You don't know Him. If you knew Him, you would fall at His feet. And you would worship. This isn't a mamby-pamby God. This is not a weak God. This is the Almighty Creator of the universe who holds the universe in the palm of His hand, who holds your life in the palm of His hand. Your next breath is given by Him. He deserves your praise and your worship. I don't know Him, but we're seeking to know Him this fall by looking at His characteristics. He's present with us. The only place God is not, He's not in hell. And that's what makes hell the bad place it is. He's not there. Hell is the exact opposite of everything that God has created. On earth, we enjoy all the blessings from God, air, life, water, love, relationships, sleep, and enjoyment. In hell, there is none of those things. No air, no life, no water, no love, no relationships, no sleep, and no peace. God's not there. Yes, you will be alive. You will be aware of the surroundings you're in. But it will be very different than here. So what God's all-present nature is not, I want to make clear today as we talk about this idea and you understand this, that it's not pantheism. Pantheism is God is everything, everything is God. This is a common belief in the Hindu religion. It's the belief that God is in the rock and God is in the chair and God is in the table and God's in the car and the grass and, you know, He's everything. So that's why they have over 330 million, I don't know who counted those, but that's what they've said, gods. And this is why, while we were talking in our class this morning, very difficult to do missions in India. Because it's very easy to go over there and baptize 2,000 or 3,000 people in a week. Because adding Jesus to their collection is very easy. But you tell them to leave all the gods and follow Jesus alone, you're going to have a small church. Like my friend Mark Hooper, who was in Bombay, modern-day Mumbai, for 5 years, and he baptized 90 people. They were true converts. This belief that God is everything and everything is God, this is very similar to modern-day Hollywood, New Age. The earth is God. Get connected with it, man. You know, get connected with your inner God. Very similar to Hinduism. But I want to present to you today that this robs God of His glory. This idea that God is in everything. No, great misunderstanding. God is present everywhere, but He's not in material things. And that's very important to understand that. He's like the air we breathe. Okay? It's everywhere. You can't see it, but it's there. God is distinct from His creation. Next week we're going to be talking about God's holiness. Let me tell you something. When you get talking about God's holiness, that's some serious stuff because God is distinct from His creation. There is nothing like Him. And to bring Him down into the idea that He isn't in everything is robs of His glory and His honor. So what does God's all-present nature mean for us? Let's get practical, okay? Let's not talk theology. Let's get practical here about what this means for our lives. God's all-present nature should change the way that we daily live. It should change the way you look at the workplace. It should change the way you look at your home, your community, Walmart, Home Depot. God is present everywhere. He is in every conversation, every phone call. He is there. So if I understand that truth, it should change the way that I live. I need to be reminded of that. Is my conversation honoring God? Am I treating this person with love? Because for a lot of us, our public lives and our private lives are very different. Very different. You know, we come here and we say the amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, we say all the right things. And we get out to the car and we start cussing or we start acting totally contrary to what we just did. And we know that's called hypocrisy. Christians like to talk about hypocrisy about as much as turkeys like to talk about Thanksgiving. Not a popular topic, right? But I need to remind myself that I am called to be a disciple of Jesus in every aspect of my life. It's easy to be one here. But what about the workplace? And I've been in the workplace. I understand you get around a bunch of guys and everybody's cussing and talking bad and dirty jokes and all that. I mean, it's very easy to get into that conversation. And it takes a lot of courage to say, you know, I don't appreciate y'all talking like that. I'm not in this conversation. That requires a lot of courage. But you know what? People will respect you for that. Who you are when no one else is looking is called character. And this is what God wants to change in us. Because it's our private life that governs our public life. What you act like in private actually governs how you react the next day to the difficult person, to the person that you need to forgive. Your private life governs your public life. So my question to us today is, do we act the same way at church that we do at home? You know, if we followed you home, what would we see? What would we hear? Should make us think. And remind us that we are in need of daily grace and forgiveness just as much today as I was the first day I was baptized 24 years ago. I'm in need of it just as much today as I was then. Amen? God's all-present nature should change how I deal with trials and danger and problems. It should make me look differently on my issues that I'm facing in my life. Because that's the question we all ask when tragedy hits, when trials come. Where is God? You know, I thought he was here, you know. And the truth of the matter is he is closer than you think. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help. Say ever-present. An ever-present help in trouble. He's there with you. He's walking with you. He's at the hospital. He says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Don't fear. God is with you in the trials and the struggles. God's all-present nature should change how I deal with loneliness. Mother Teresa said, this is the greatest cancer of the world, is loneliness. There is no greater sad thing than somebody who's lonely. And for a lot of you in this room, you are lonely. You may be in a marriage and you're still lonely. And I want to tell you today that God, knowing He is all present, will change that perspective. You are never alone. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Close, not far from the brokenhearted. God's all-present nature should change also how I deal with death. And I love David's words through the Spirit of God writes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why would he say, I will fear no evil? Because it's at the moment of death that we all wrestle and struggle at that moment. We're weak, we're vulnerable. But he says, you know what? You are with me, Lord. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So that should, God's present nature should affect how I deal with trials, how I deal with death, how I deal with everyday struggles in my life, how I live my daily life. So what will we do with God's all-present nature? What are we going to do with this? I mean, to me, sermons are pointless unless you ask yourself, what am I going to do with this week? And here's where I really want to challenge you, because we've talked about God is everywhere. You got that. And it should cause us to live authentic and holy lives. Yeah, we get that. And it should change how we deal with trials and loneliness and death. But it shouldn't stop there. As we close today, I want to really challenge you. I mean, this has challenged me to my... This has really made me rethink a lot of things. Ask three questions as we close today. Do you believe pursuing God's presence to be the most important thing in your life? Wait a minute, you said, I thought he is all present. Well, yeah, he is. But you can live with someone and not even know they're there. You can live in a house and not even acknowledge that person is there. And I think our biggest problem is complacency. We get to a point in our walk, in our faith, and we stop. Okay, I've got the forgiveness. I've got the eternal life. I think I'll stop right there, Lord. That wasn't Moses' deal. Moses says, you know, I'm not satisfied with the burning bush. I'm not satisfied with the introduction. Show me your glory. I want more of you. Because we don't have all of God yet. You might think you do, but going through some religious exercise doesn't prove that you got God. Coming here and doing the Lord's Supper and praying and singing, you don't got God necessarily. Because you got to follow you home to see if you got God. Got to follow you to the workplace. Do you have God? That's the issue. This is the filling station. This is the gas station, as Marshall Keeble used to say, where you get filled up and encouraged. But this isn't the end all. This is where it begins. When I leave the door, that's the mission field. And I think for so many of us, we get satisfied. I've got my forgiveness. I got it. Well, that's enough for me. And we stop growing. Is that how it works in your marriage? I got married. I don't have to grow anymore. I don't need to do anything else. Isn't that how it works? Right? No, you want your spouse to grow with you. You want your spouse to know you. You want your spouse to be a part of your life. So why would you do it with God? Why would we think God's any different? God wants you to pursue him, to chase him, to seek him with all of your heart. And he says, if you do that, you'll find me. Show me your glory. When was the last time you prayed that prayer? God, I'm dissatisfied with where I am, Lord, right now. I want more of you and less of me. It's not about religion. It's not about going through some exercise every day. It's seeking him. It's relationship. Second question, do you actually sense God's presence in your life? Do you sense him? Is he present with you? Well, you say, I shouldn't rely on my feelings. Well, yeah, I understand where you're coming from that, because we do all have bad days. You got bad hair days. You got days when you don't feel close to God. I understand that. I have days like that too. But we should be reminding ourselves, I should sense God's presence in my life. Because the issue is, who moved? Us or him? Well, he doesn't move. It's usually us that move away from him. We're as close to God as we choose to be. Usually, it's unconfessed sin that keeps us separated from God. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. See, there is a Yeah, you've got to seek. Yeah, you've got to go. It's not osmosis. But he says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There may be some unconfessed sin that we have to work through, because often sin hurts our relationship, just like it hurts a marital relationship when there is unforgiveness or something that we've offended our spouse with. We've got to work through it. It's the same with God. And the third and final question. God's all-present nature should inspire us to practice the presence of God daily. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Brother Lawrence, a 16th century monk in France, discovered the joy of practicing the presence of God as he washed pots and pans. Doesn't sound like a very glamorous position, does it? But he writes, the most holy and necessary practice in our spiritual life is the presence of God. That means finding constant pleasure in His divine company, speaking humbly and lovingly with Him in all seasons, at every moment, without limiting the conversation in any way. What that simply means is, you got God 24/7. You got God in the car, you got God at work, you could talk to God throughout your day. I challenge you this week, acknowledge God's presence throughout your day. Just speak a sentence, speak to Him in your heart, or even verbally in the car. And one day, we're going to be no longer bound by time, by sin, or anything. Let me tell you something. Being in the total, full presence of God one day, it is absolutely going to blow your mind. You will fall at His feet. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You will fall at His feet. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. There is going to come a day when this will happen. After Jesus' return, after the judgment day, God is going to restore everything back to what it was. But He is going to create a new heaven, a new universe, a new earth, the earth we are living on right now. Heaven will come down to us, and He will restore all things. He says, and I heard in a loud voice from the throne, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And this is the most profound thought a human can think of, the fact that I will dwell with God forever, in His full presence forever, is a profound thought. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy, and they're true. And God proved it, most of all, with Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God's proof that He wants to be present with us. And what's even more amazing is God says, no, that's not good enough. I want to be in your heart through the Holy Spirit. And when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. God comes to dwell in our heart and transform us and change us. And maybe today you need to begin anew your walk with God and be restored and be forgiven. God will forgive you and cleanse you of your sins if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And today we want to encourage you, if you want to do that, we can baptize you into Christ today. Maybe today you just need prayers. We just want to pray for us. We're struggling. Whatever you need is, won't you stand? Come and